We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Who is that?
Who are you?
Who can it be now?
Who is he?
Who the hell are you?
The funny thing is that we all three of us guessed this person, and we were wrong when we had Jackie McMullen
last
on. You
week,
remember that?
Yeah, or two weeks ago. Yeah,
all three of us.
We guessed her a few times.
Guessed this person, and we were all 100% wrong.
Well, you know what? No one can ever say that we're the most sexist show because we have mystery
guest women. I
thought
they said sexiest.
They did,
yeah,
but some
did.
People heard sexist, so I just want to clear the air.
I just because
we have mystery guests on our show all the time.
They might be the most sexist show on this.
It's a very
Trenny said sexiest.
I think that's exactly what I heard from Trenny. Exactly.
So who you got, Glenn?
It's Wendy Nix, who, by the way, was a terrific co-host on the Big Show. She used to attack people. It was awesome.
Okay, so
terrific.
I think Lou.
That's not what you used
Wendy
to
Nix.
Tell me.
Yes, I did.
I'm just kidding.
Terrific.
I got
of
Wendy
course,
Nix. Right, so let's. So let's hear the resume. Let's go.
This next mystery guest is a former co-host of The Big Show and has made stops at NESN, Fox Sports Net New England, and WHDH. She's currently the lead host of NFL Live on ESPN and used to be the babysitter for Raiders wide receiver Hunter Renfro.
Wow.
Okay, mystery guest,
what?
Reveal yourself.
Wow. Is this me now, guys? Hi.
Who is
yes, it?
It
is.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. This is how it works. It's Wendy.
Yay!
Hi, guys. Wait,
hi, Wendy.
Wait. I'm driving down the highway. I'm going fast. I got the speaker on. I'm not that good at doing more than one thing at once. But anyway, Glenn, I did not attack people. It was healthy debate. I would remind you. So.
It was good. I loved it because you were vicious and it was great.
Wendy, you were vicious?
Yeah, she was vicious.
No, not vicious. Vicious is a strong word. Committed. Because I'm going committed.
Okay,
committed. Wendy, his nickname for you was the Barracuda. I'm just saying.
You know what? I was provoked. Felger provoked me most of the time. So in my defense.
She did. She destroyed Felger.
So, Wendy, do you have
fond
memories of your time at the Big Show? Anything stand out?
Oh, my gosh. Absurdly fond memories. Glenn, I miss you. It was so much fun. I was so psyched when you reconvened in a different form. But, I mean, you know, he's right. I do remember, I mean, I had to get used to, what is it? Is that true that we still have, like, the six-second delay with the bad
words? Yes, you had trouble. You had trouble with that.
Yeah. Well, That's not my strong suit. Censoring is not my strong suit. I mean, my kids are just as bad. It's really bad.
Really? That's not good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're not as bad because they know they're not supposed to, but we don't do the best. We're not, like, the best example, but we're trying.
Wendy, did you, I mean, I brought this up before the break. Now, be honest, okay? You're the one attractive person in the locker room. Right, did you know that there was a lot of people, a lot of guys had secret crushes on one Wendy Nix? Did you understand that?
No, I did
or feel
not.
That?
I know what in today's day and age, am I supposed to get mad? But I mean, I can't. I'm
sorry. No. That's a compliment.
Yeah, I'll take it.
And not in a weird, freaky way.
Professional.
Yeah, but not in a weird, freaky way.
At the Super Bowl this year. Mike Vrabel came on one day and Teddy was on, and then we caught up, the three of us caught up a little later with Richard Seymour, and we were joking. It was kind of like a class reunion because, you know, we're all similar ages. They're a little bit older, but not much. And they were players, and I was kind of learning my way around and how to be a reporter. It was just such an awesome group. It was a fun environment, and I have literally nothing but fond memories. I don't have a single thing I remember that wasn't really great about the whole deal.
Do you remember anything in particular that stood out as far as, because I would consider you part of the first wave Like you're the first dynasty, and there's a lot of people in that first dynasty that are now all over the world, all over the United States,
with
their own shows, and it's crazy. All the talent that came out of that first wave when the Patriots were originally successful.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's crazy, right? I mean, for what the other word for it is old, but, you know, what are you going to do? We'll call it seasoned or veteran, but it has been pretty phenomenal to watch. I mean, really more just in the NFL than anything else, like the tree branch, you know, from players who've become coaches, I mean, Vrabel's a perfect example. And I remember so clearly that first Super Bowl in New Orleans because everything was so improbable. And I remember being at Foxborough, you know, when Adam made that kick. I mean, just the whole first wave, and it was after 9/11, and then being on the field in New Orleans, it's still surreal. And it really did, in my mind, sort of start this incredible run, historic run that I'm not sure we'll ever see again.
And so you've had a lot of
to be a part of that was cool.
Yeah, Wendy, you've had a lot of former Patriots working alongside of you. So, you know, be honest, yeah. They won't hear this or anything. But which one's your favorite to work with?
I don't know. Teddy might. He's in Attleboro. I don't trust that Teddy's not lit. Teddy's everywhere. You know, he's like sneaky informed, that one. You think he's not paying attention, and then he definitely is. Look, I do. I truly mean it. I really have some great colleagues. I mean, Teddy, it's hard not to, you know, Teddy's just awesome. And it's so
he's
fun.
Your favorite, but who's the best? Is he the best also?
Oh, I think he might be. I mean, he was such a – you guys probably remember when he started. I mean, he's clearly gotten better, but he – I mean, Teddy was good from the get-go, and he was intense as a player, and he wasn't always you know, after the game or in the locker room, you were like, you know, should I ask him? Is he going to kill me? You know, what's he going to do? But he just is so prepared now, so mellow, so focused. I actually give him a hard time. Like, come on, Teddy, like let's have a drink. Let's do homework right now. Come on.
Wendy Dix from ESPN, our mystery guest today. So are you convinced with everything you hear that the NFL is going to start on time this year?
Yeah, look, I'm probably the wrong person to ask on this. I've been on the show. I thought this whole thing would be over in 2 weeks. So, I missed that one. But I am. I really am. I feel like, you know, I mean, I think from everything I hear that the NFLPA is going to have some assurances and the players are going to need some answers, which I understand. But I really do think if training camp doesn't start on time, it will start shortly thereafter. I don't know the fan situation. I wouldn't be willing to say for sure that we'll have fans in the stands. We certainly won't have capacity crowds. But I do think the NFL season will start on time. And for the record, I think it should.
So, Wendy, I know you got a lot of former Patriots you work with, and they've given their opinions. And the big news for us, and thank God, honestly, because there was nothing going on, was Tom Brady actually leaving. So, were you surprised? Do you find it interesting talking with his former teammates, you know, about him leaving New England?
That's a good question. I guess I was surprised in the end that it was Tampa. You know, Rob Ninkovich was pretty clear the whole time that he felt like Tom was leaving, that it was just more about the need to go than anything else, and that If it wasn't about money, if it wasn't about a contract, if it wasn't about any of those things, then really what are you going to change, right? I mean, Bill's not going anywhere, the culture's not going anywhere, nor should they. But if that were a part of the factors, if those were factors, then he was going to move on. So I wasn't shocked that he left. I didn't know where he'd end up. I was a little surprised it was Tampa, but I guess in retrospect it makes more sense. You guys probably said the same thing. When you look at it now that the decision's been made, it's easier to understand, but I would not – that would have been even my top – I wouldn't have been my 10 guesses, I don't think.
I'm just, Wendy, when I think of some of the people who have been part of your life, the one person who I would think I would never have in my wildest dream mentioned would be Hunter Renfrow, former Clemson wide receiver and a Raider wide receiver. You were his babysitter?
No, speaking of old, and actually Hunter's got, I think, six brothers and sisters. His dad's one of nine. His dad was my high school football coach and athletic director. And then I started babysitting for Hunter's older brothers and sisters, and then he was on down the line. But, yeah, so, you know, I'm from South Carolina. That's home. And I go way back with his dad. So I was finishing up high school, and here comes the Renfrow group, the Renfrow clan, and he was one of them. So it's kind of crazy. I'm thrilled for him, thrilled for his family. They're awesome people. So, but it is kind of funny, you know, to look up. And then when he played at Clemson, he walked on, sort of like, oh, good for you, you know, overachieving. Like, go. And then the next thing you know, He's an NFL prospect. And then the next thing you know, he's catching passes and touchdowns, you know, for the Raiders. So it's been fun to watch. But I know, I wouldn't. Not one you kind of connect the dots to.
Any other famous people you babysat for?
That is so
Wendy.
Random.
Yeah, no, I wish Glenn. That's my claim to fame right there. I peaked. I mean, clearly I peaked.
Wendy, when you think about it, I don't, because you don't really talk to coaches as much as you used to, right? I mean, it's a lot of players, maybe every now and then.
I guess in some ways I feel like we talk to coaches more. I mean, they come on, you know, we do a pretty good job, I think, on NFL Live of getting as many as we can, although – you guys know the conversations you have in front of the camera aren't always quite the same as the ones you can have, you know, privately and then kind of weave through them.
That's what I was saying. Have you ever, because I want to say that, you know, Bill, like, because everyone respected you, right, because you were hardworking and obviously, you know, had a lot of respect for the job. Did you, what were your thoughts of Bill back then, and have they changed at all since you've gotten older and he's gotten older?
Both of those things are true. You know, I think I just have such a respect. Forget, take anything outside of the lines or off the field or whatever. And I got to know Bill a little bit, and I found what was fascinating is that he truly is. I mean, his mind, and Kristen, you know this, all of you know this, the way he's such a historian of the game, the way he reads, the way he processes information, I'm without question a nerd and found that fascinating. And having him open the door on that a little bit and shed some light on that with me, he had me read some books. He was willing to discuss them, which I always appreciated.
Oh, he gave you homework?
He did.
What was the book?
Bill Walsh's book was the first one he made me read. And that thing is not short, by the way, not short. But it is fascinating. You know, my dad was a football coach, high school, and then a little bit at the college level. And so I've always loved the game and loved the way I just don't think you can, his accomplishments and what he's been able to do for such a long time in a league, by the way, that does a pretty good job with parity. You know, I mean, I think you can argue the NFL for the most part, you know, you see new teams come and go every year. Somebody makes the playoffs that didn't the year before and vice versa. And yet there are his Patriots. So I'm always fascinated with the way his mind works, and no, it hasn't changed, because I just think anybody, any doctor, any teacher, anybody who's the best at what they do, and I think he is, to me is fascinating.
All right, there's a real curiosity for what he's going to do now with no Tom Brady. You guys have spent a lot of times in NFL Live on ESPN talking about the New England Patriots. Is the curiosity still there with New England? And do you think they fall on their face?
I don't think they fall on their face. And here's why. I mean, I think at some point you have to learn from history, right? I learned a long time ago not to bet on New England. Now I understand that things have changed dramatically, that Tom has moved on, and that he was such an integral part to what they've accomplished. So who knows? But there are other pieces of that puzzle that are still there. And so for me, just personally, until proven otherwise, I just don't know why you'd count out New England. You'd have to give me a better reason, although Tom Brady's departure is a pretty big one. I'll give you that. But you're going to have to give me a lot more for me to write off the Patriots today where I sit. I've just seen it too many times. But, you know, having said that, it will be a different type team. They'll have to win differently, which he's proven he can do. They'll have to it won't be the same. And I think it will be fascinating. And I think everybody's probably saying the same thing in reverse. You know, what will Tom Brady do? A little bit unfair, since you can't, as good as he is, you can't compare a 43-year-old Tom Brady to a 25-year-old Tom Brady. So it's a different time in his career. But I think Tom with Bruce Arians will be fascinating. So for me, if you like the game, you know, if you really enjoy the NFL as a whole, these are both fascinating storylines to watch. And I also don't think whatever happens in Tampa changes anything Tom's done, but I do think it'll be fun to watch.
Wendy, you mentioned Tom in Tampa Bay, and I think a short while ago, I forget who it was, kind of compared them to maybe they're going to be this year's Cleveland Browns, right? All this hype. And maybe it doesn't work out that way. Do you see it that way, or do you think Tom Brady, think the Tampa Bay Bucks are a real legit threat in the NFC?
I mean, is it wrong to say I absolutely don't know? I mean, that's what's so fascinating about it. I mean, Gronk is a huge factor too, and putting those two back together. But again, you know, look, there were other reasons I know that he stepped away for a bit, but he was banged up and he was injured and he was tired. Now, some time away changes that. But, Kristen, you'd have to tell me what difference that makes with him coming back. You know, I don't know. Is he the same? You know, Tom, again, still a great quarterback, but a different point in his career. You know, Bruce, interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he'll be a lot more collaborative, which is what Tom was looking for. He's going to let those guys dictate a lot of what they do. I don't know. I think it's possible they contend, sure. But, I mean, could they be 500? Possibly. I don't know. But that's why I think it's awesome. It's just an awesome thing to watch.
Yeah, so, Wendy, last one for me. I know you just left work. And maybe you guys talked about this, but Drew Brees is getting just destroyed right now for some of his comments regarding the flag. And I don't know how we got back into this again, but here we go again, taking knee. And so he responds to it. I don't know. Did you see it? Did you guys cover that today?
Well, we didn't. We were actually wrapping things up. I have a strong sneaking suspicion that that will be most of what we, you know, what we delve into tomorrow. It was sort of at the tail end. So we did.
Yeah, but you heard what he said, though, right?
Yeah, I did. I did, and I was told about it. And then I was joking to Tyler that I struggle with email, and yet today I downloaded the app. I got EEI on.
Wow.
I listened to you guys for an hour. This
wow.
is like
you've
like,
progressed in life. Wow.
You have no idea, Glenn. You have no idea. I'm so proud of myself.
So I guess it'll be interesting to see. I don't just know how your thoughts are on it. You know, because everybody's – and be careful. I don't want you to get fired because everyone's on a hair trigger right now based on how you respond to certain things.
Well, I think there's no better word than hair trigger, which is why I would say this. And, Glenn, you know, I haven't met many fences I sit on. In fact, I usually trip right over them and tear them down. But I would say this. I think listening right now and trying to understand everybody's perspective is super important. I mean, there are just so many raw emotions surrounding this, and there's already a fatigue coming out of everything else we've dealt with over the last few months. There's such a jump to judge and criticize from every different direction, and I think it's really important to take a beat, which is what I would say to that. I hope and I believe that no one, including Drew Brees, is intentionally hurtful or disrespectful. That I do believe. However, we have to be real careful right now and understand that there's a lot of pain and a lot of emotion. So we'll see, but I do know that it's, to Glenn, I heard you say this, and you're absolutely right. It's not gonna go well. I mean, you know, it's not gonna play well because it does read a little tone deaf, and that may not have been the intention. But we are so trigger happy right now that you just have to really stop and think before you speak.
I agree.
All of us.
I agree.
All of us.
Wendy, thank you very much.
Thanks,
it was
Wendy.
Great catching up with you, and continued success, and stay well out there.
All right, thanks, guys. You too. See you soon.
See you later.
Thanks, Wendy.
Wendy Nix from NFL Live on ESPN.
Who is that?
Who are you?
Who can it be now?
Who is he?
Who the hell are you?
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
On the day that the NBA is getting ready to come back, on the day that Major League Soccer gets past economic issues, baseball is still at a complete impasse right now. The sides are just not moving. And when Rob Manfred on Sunday told Tony Clark and Bruce Meyer, the head of the MLBPA and the lead negotiator, that there is a possibility that MLB would implement a 50-game season unilaterally, that tells you where the discussions are right now. If the owner side is saying, we are going to do this without your permission, we are going to do this if we can't come to a deal, that is a bad place to be months into a discussion.
It is June the 3rd. They're running out of time. That is Jeff Passan telling you what everybody else is telling you, and that is that it does not look good for Major League Baseball. And I go back to, and Christian said it the other day, and I said it about a week ago. I don't think the owners, Lou, I think the owners are looking at it saying, we only have so much money here. We're not going to lose anymore. This is as much money as we're going to throw out there. We'll play 40 or 50 games, get some of our playoff money, but screw you. We'd rather cancel the season than play and
both
lose money.
Both sides suck right now. They do. Both sides. Sorry. Both sides. Because the union kind of counters with 114 games playing later into the year. That's a non-starter. The owners would never go for that. They don't want a longer season. They need the playoffs.
Right.
They don't want to have the playoffs in November, even if it's in neutral sites, because they're afraid that the pandemic could come back. They want a shorter season. Now, I still think there's an answer in between, but it frustrates me, like Passon just said there. I mean, we're basically a month into this. So the league kind of has a counterproposal, and the owners come out and say there will be no counter. We won't even offer you a counterproposal. We'll listen to some ideas, but don't expect a counter from us. So where are we? I mean, like a month into this.
You're running out of time. And we've said it all along. If Major League Baseball doesn't come back first, they're going to lose the spotlight, because there will be a spotlight, whoever comes back first, whether it's the NBA, the NHL, or Major League Baseball, because people are desperate. And I would think a month from now, with all of the terrible news that they're watching on TV every single day, they're really going to be thirsting for it. And if you're not there for them,
well, baseball
good night.
Needs that
see you later.
Baseball needs that more than the other team.
Oh, no question.
You know, the NBA playoffs, the NHL, they could come back, you know, the 1st of August, and people will be happy. You know, so baseball can't come back 2nd or 3rd. They just can't. If they're going to come back, they have to come back first just to try to get, you know, a little excitement and just sort of like, okay. I know it was chaos. You guys played it out publicly. I hate all of you right now. But you know what? Baseball is back. There's sports back. I'm in a good mood. But if they're the last one, or God forbid, don't come back, oh my God, it's so damaging for the sport.
So NBA is announced and they'll vote on it tomorrow. My guess is it will be accepted. July 31st, they will open up the season. They will play until October the 12th. They'll have 22 teams, 13 in the Western Conference, 9 in the East. By the way, there was an uptick of COVID cases down in Florida today, so who knows whether that's going to affect the NBA's plan down at Disney World. They're going to play 8 more regular season games. That will determine seeding. They will take the present standings, unlike the NHL, the present standings, and the top 7 seeds, top 14 teams, will all be set in gear. The remaining 8 teams will compete in a play-in tournament for the final spot. That's how it's going to play.
So, again, so this is the first sign of the unbelievable backlog of sports that we will have at the end of October, basically the fall, when it's usually football time, when we're talking college football, right? Because college football isn't going anywhere. NFL, playoffs in basketball. You're going to end in October. Great. Now you're going to have hockey. They're going to rally. They're going to play. Similar time frame, I would say. And then you're going to have the little kid who sits in the corner and starts having a tantrum because he's not playing. That is Major League Baseball, Lou.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? So everybody shows up to the party. The one guy that thinks they're better than it all, and I'm just using that to paint a picture.
Not you, Lou. Baseball.
Oh, yeah. Can you see? Here comes NHL walking through the door. Hey, NHL. Hey, NBA. Good to see you. NFL, college football. Man, I'm glad you guys. Hey, did somebody tell MLS? Yeah, they're here too. They're in the back though because nobody really respects them. Where's MLB? Where's MLB? They didn't show up. They think they're too good for the party, right? They're special. Well, screw MLB. We'll see you in 5 years when everyone decides to care again. Pathetically bad so many different ways.
I agree, and that's how a lot of people feel. And that opinion you have right now is their fault because they're making it so public. You know, if privately we didn't hear, now they're still negotiating. Oh, they've come to terms with the format of the season. They've come to terms with the health protocols. They're still ironing out some salary, but, you know, they'll figure it out. But no, because it's public, that's the overall opinion. Screw you guys. We all admit they have different obstacles, more obstacles than the other two sports. But
they have more to lose, though.
None of it. Exactly. They have much more to lose.
Yeah, they can't afford this, Lou. They can't afford this.
It's everybody's at the party. Everybody's there. Everybody's at the reunion. Everybody's there. NHL, NBA, NFL shows up late because, you know, they can never come to a party on time. They're the most important team in the world. And then Major League Baseball, they decide they're going to be Ty Cobb. I'm not showing up. I'm not going. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's just good.
Everything that happens to them, they deserve, owners and players.
So is there a possibility, because they need 23 votes in the NBA, out of 30 teams to be able to pass this plan for 22 teams, is it possible that a couple the small market teams vote against it?
Oh,
my
couple.
Guess is, yeah, my guess
all you
is,
need is one, though.
Yeah, my guess is like Golden State is going to sit there and say, screw it. We're fine. We're out. We're good. We're going.
Well, yeah, because I think some of those, there'll be some teams that vote against it, but there'll be some that sit there and say, listen, we're bad.
Yeah.
We know that we're bad. Yeah. And you know what? This needs to happen because financially it's going to help our sport moving forward.
So some of the GMs think that it's all being manipulated, and the reason they got 22 teams, because if you look at it, the last team on that list is, guess who? New Orleans. So it's Zion Williamson. They want him to be in the tournament, and that probably is a factor.
Sure.
It probably is.
And I think that's good business. Good job. Let's highlight our stars. Hey, we've been away for 2 months. Let's bring back the most significant, you know, drafted player since, I don't know, LeBron James, Shaquille O'Neal, as far as excitement with him coming into the league. Yeah, smart. You need him. You're going to need people because, again, you're going against the NFL. You're going against college football. You're going to have games on Thursday, Friday night, Saturday night. Are you going to have games on Sunday? Okay, what about the NHL? And what if the MLB decides to show up? Late as they will, but, you know, they show up.
Well, that'd be something. I feel like you're sitting there on a Sunday and you got a 1 o'clock game, a 4 o'clock game. Yep. You have Sunday night football, but you might have NHL, Stanley Cup, NBA playoffs. Mm-hmm. You might have MLB playoffs at that same time, too.
And then you're going to have coronavirus updates, Lou.
This is sports.
Well, it's irrelevant now. We can have gatherings together.
Oh, yeah.
We moved on. I did see what they were allowed to do. So the players are going to be under a strict testing program. They are going to have, they're going to be in a bubble, but they're going to be some latitude. So for an example, they can go to outdoor restaurants over at the Disney Springs, only outdoor, not indoor. So there is a stringent set of rules on what they can do and what they cannot do. So there's not a lot of freedom, but there's enough. There's certainly more than there would be in most cities probably in the country right now, because they're going to set stuff up specifically for them. But here's the one I don't understand is, how are they going to be able to play all of these games? So if you've got 22 clubs, you've got 11 games going on at one time. Now, if the home team is a Western Conference team, for TV, you want to play that game at 10 o'clock at night, right? You want to play it late, 10:30, because you're playing for the TV audience. And if you're an Eastern team, you want to play in the early hours, right? 7:30, 8 o'clock. So, but how many, there aren't enough courts, I don't think. How many games can you play at one time?
Are you talking about for the Wild World of Sports?
Yeah, for the NBA.
I would say three. I would say you treat it like it. You're not doing early morning games, but I feel like you treat it like an AAU tournament or the NCAA tournament.
We're going old school.
Oh, yeah, you're going way back.
I'm just saying, the day when you came home from school and there was a game already on.
Yep.
And you caught the end of it. Yeah. Right? I'm talking about 1 o'clock playoff baseball or 1 o'clock playoff NBA. You know, and you're going to be in the NBA and NHL. You're going to have 1 o'clock games.
Yeah, 5 and then you're going to have it's
8 you know o'clock
what,
games.
Actually, you know the first couple days of the NCAA tournament when there's – so many games, and they're on four different channels.
Yeah.
It's on True TV. It's on TNT. It's on TBS. It's on CBS. So that is what it's going to be like, I would say, for the entire month of September.
So what time are they going to be played, though? So think about it. Normally,
like Lou just said, you're going to place games in the middle of the day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be
sorry,
crazy.
You know, we'll what have days the broadcast, off because though? We'll be carrying a game.
I'm just saying, what about, like, say, ESPN? So are there any conflicts as far as, you know, NBA showing a playoff game or – on a Monday night football?
So my guess is that you want to make up these eight games. The playoffs will be separate. They'll go to all the networks. But the eight games that you play in the regular season, you got to make sure that the local regionals, for example, NBC Sports Boston here, has got to have the rights to pick up those games. So they're going to make sure that they're taken care of. But you're right. ESPN probably is sitting there going, hey, we got screwed too.
I'm just trying
how about
to figure
some
out
extra games
and
you block
and
out the markets.
Yeah, the different conflicts they might have. You know, I don't even know. ESPN. Does ESPN have the playoffs?
No.
The TBS?
They all do.
Yeah.
So they split all the games up.
So is it,
and then
is
they put them
ESPN,
on ABC
the Deuce,
as well.
We're going to put it on ESPN2. The Ocho coming back. Throw a little game up there or what?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They might. They might separate them and put them because they're going to play them at all hours of the day. Saturday, what time do you play? Starting at 10 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock? But you would have to take the – if the home team – because you're going to have to designate a home team and a road team for each one of these games. But if, let's say, the Lakers are playing, you can't play the Lakers at 10 o'clock in the morning because the people in Los Angeles want to watch their team. And if they're a home, it is designated a home game, even though you're not playing in L.A., you're playing for an L.A. audience on TV. So you actually have to play in the Pacific time zone, do you not?
Oh, hang with them.
I just, it you know, as long as they're playing, it'll be – you're going to have a stockpile of content. I mean, honest to God, you won't be able to watch all of it. The question is, how does it work with – we should be thinking, okay, how does it work for the Celtics?
Here it is. I'll give you the Celtics right now. Celtics schedule, first game out of the blocks, at Milwaukee.
Nice.
Second game versus Washington, at Toronto, at Brooklyn, at Washington, at Memphis – versus Portland versus Miami. It's an advantage for the Celtics, and I'll tell you why. Because they're going to be neutral site games, and they would be playing six out of these eight games. Is that right? No, five out of these eight games would have been on the road. So instead, you get a neutral site. That's an advantage for Boston.
And most likely, they won't really move. I mean, they're three games behind Toronto.
For the second seed, yes.
They're
2.5 ahead of Miami for the fourth.
2.5 ahead of Miami.
Yeah.
4.5 ahead of, what, New Jersey?
Yeah, I don't think they're moving. You know what the question would be, Lou? Is Philly going to move?
Yeah.
Because Philly is the one that you're still looking at in the first round of the playoffs.
I think this is the format that I like the most. You know, they had like this one of four options, I believe it was, a week or two ago. And I like the eight games coming back, like I said, if they had time to do it. Because now you can sort of, you know, and I know they're meaningful as far as seedings go. But you could sort of wean your players back in. They're talking about bad basketball when it comes back. So you got eight games to sort of figure that out and get these guys ready, you know, for when it counts. So I think it's the best format. And I think one of the biggest questions in the league is going to be the New Jersey, the Brooklyn Nets.
I don't think Durant's playing, though. That's what you're hearing now. That the so-called
Durant
experts,
Kyrie.
Yeah, they're telling you that Durant's not playing. So the question is, does Durant want to go and chance it? My guess is, based on what happened with him at Golden State coming back late in the season, is he going to be a little bit timid about doing this?
But would you rather take the entire year off and not play a game until December? Or would you rather treat eight games in a regular season like a rehab to get back into playing again?
Well, they would also play in the first, at least in the first round of the playoffs.
He's been working out, you know, for a while now. And if he's healthy enough to play, I would think that he would want to get on the court and play eight games, maybe 13 games total, or whatever it is, that first round, just to kind of play basketball again.
Yeah.
He hasn't played in forever.
Yeah, it's a good question, but I keep on hearing the people in Brooklyn keep on saying, nah, they're not hearing that. Sham Sharania of The Athletic, Hawks and Bulls ownership group said on the call that they want to return, sources said. But several players and staffers throughout both of those organizations prefer not to. So yeah. Is that what teams are going to have to do before their vote? They're going to call the players up and say, will you do it? For an example, Portland has one of these spots. Does he come back and do this? Does he do it?
You say that guy's name different every
Damon
time.
Can't
Lillard.
Say it.
Do you say Damian Lillard?
What did I say?
Damon Lillard. You say Damon Lillard.
I keep on throwing out there.
Right. Damian Lillard. Yeah. Well, he said he wants to have a chance to make the postseason, right? So he looks like he'll probably be in that spot to play that play-in game for the eighth seed, I would think. So, but, you know, you're talking about teams that are out of the playoffs. You know, and I don't blame them. I mean, whether it's staff, whether it's players, you know, you haven't played in what, 3 or 4 months? You're going to go down to Orlando? You're going to leave your family for eight games? That you have no chance of making the postseason? Do you really want to go through all that just for eight games, or just say, I'll see you in December if we start the year up? Like, I could see a lot of these teams out of the playoffs like, dude, I'm not doing this. By the way, I've already gotten paid. I'm not doing this.
So could you, yeah, so you, let's say they come down there and they're kind of, you know, timing is off, all of that other stuff, maybe conditioning is off a little bit, and then you play the first two games and you fall further behind. What are you going to do for the rest of the tournament? Kind of throw the towel in, right?
Oh, yeah, no,
I don't want to get hurt, just, right?
Mm-hmm. And I would say that if the season's starting in August, most of these guys...
July 31st, yeah.
August. Sorry, July 3rd, so whatever, July it's August 1st. Yeah. So they would be ramping up to this stage anyways, wouldn't they? I mean, they would be starting to condition. The question I have, so did you, and I didn't hear you, did you say when the 2020-21 season is going to start? If they're not ending until October, when's the next season going to start?
They're talking about starting it on Christmas Day. And I believe that...
So 2 months off.
I believe that what they really want to do, and they may use the first year as an experimental season, is to permanently move the clock to December 25th till August. That's where they would like to be.
Oh, man. Yep. So no more summertime for basketball players.
Right.
They're really... No, I don't know.
Because think about it, Christian. If you go to October the 12th this year, and you start on December the 25th, what are you going to do for next season? You're going to go back to... Yeah. So you're going to play the season out until August, and you're going to start playing again in October?
I know. You know what? I see it. They're figuring it out. I remember when we had Dan Patrick on. It was great. He was like, NBA is doing it right. I just keep thinking of this analogy of all the leagues huddling up, and the NBA is asking the NFL, hey, man, will you text MLB? Will you tell MLB what time the party started? So MLB will show up. MLB does not want to lose their stranglehold on the summer. Yet they're
I'm
going
telling
to,
you, this is
they're
disastrous.
Going to lose it, and it is, and we keep going to basketball. I just keep thinking how unbelievably stupid Major League Baseball.
So Major League Baseball's biggest problem right now is trying to attract young demographics, right? And so they're going to give up this season. They're going to let the NBA take over their schedule, their time, all right? They're going to take it over, and then next year, they're going to invade it every single season. And these young kids are attracted to the game of basketball. And where's Major League Baseball's future growth? Where is it?
Glenn, you're right. It's funny because I would say if I'm the owners or if I'm anyone with any sort of influence, I would say, guys, we can't do it for this year. We have to figure out how we can save ourselves for next year. So in order to save ourselves for next year, we just have to suck it up.
Yeah, like, and if we take a loss this year,
that's it.
We ask for something more next year when the CBA is up. The real fight is next year.
Next year,
because you're really for everybody.
Yeah, you're really not fighting for this. You're fighting not only for your salaries next year, but for your position in American culture, especially when it comes to the boys of summer. You won't be the boys of summer anymore.
No,
they're
running out of
American
time for 82 games anyways, in my opinion. So you know what? Fine, come back. Okay, how about this one? You willing to go 50 games prorated, full salary prorated? Fine. How about 65? We wanted 82, you wanted 50. How about that? Can we 65 games? You want to pay us? You know, 65% or whatever it is, 65 games. What is it? Almost a third, a little more than a third.
Lou, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that both of these sides are wrong. You were right, but both of these sides better come together or the game is in jeopardy.
No, they need about the answer is about 65 games is the answer. And you can come back mid-July and hopefully you can start your postseason in September. And middle of September, end of September. And you can hit it then and be
end
done by mid-October.
You can do it. All right, 617-779-7937. Drew Brees had some comments today about kneeling and would he be willing to kneel come this fall? He's getting all sorts of reaction, and it's not just from football players. We'll get into more of it coming up next right here on OMF.
It's gonna be epic, man.
Oh, epic. Gronk.
My boy Gronk lost his belt.
By the way, did you hear there's a story out there right now where a lot of these unnamed wrestlers and wrestling people, basically saying that he was an a-hole and a pain in the ass to work with.
I don't believe it. The verbiage was ass clown. He was just
ass clown. Yeah.
Well, that's different.
Yeah,
that's different.
They had trouble working with him because he was like a little kid and he couldn't concentrate.
Well,
as you know, it's a serious business, right?
They're
serious business. Everything is coordinated down to a millisecond.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
You don't buy it. You think he was easy to work with, huh?
Of course,
no problem.
An ass clown, like a clown, like a big just doofus. Yes.
Yeah, they were happy to see him gone from the league.
Because God forbid a football player do what they do. Oh, you can't have his kind around here.
They're not as smart as wrestlers. I mean, you got to admit that. Baseball players and wrestlers are smarter than football players. You got to admit that. I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? Talking about that, Drew Brees was asked the question today based on everything we've heard and everything we've seen in the last week and the fact that Colin Kaepernick's name is popping up once again and the fact that maybe some team should sign him. Maybe he was right about taking a knee. Maybe his stand made some sense. So he was asked the question again today about would he take a knee this fall?
Well, I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place. So every time I stand with my hand over my heart, looking at that flag and singing the national anthem, that's what I think about. And in many cases, it brings me to tears, thinking about all that has been sacrificed, not just those in the military, but for that matter, those throughout the civil rights movements of the 60s and everyone and all that has been endured by so many people up until this point. And is everything right with our country right now? No, it's not. We still have a long way to go. But I think what you do by standing there and showing respect to the flag with your hand over your heart is it shows unity. It shows that we are all in this together. We can all do better. And that we are all part of the solution.
The reaction, it's been, I would guess, 80-90% against him. It's unbelievable. Here's the latest. Here's LeBron James. Wow, man. Is it still surprising at this point? Sure isn't. You literally still don't understand why Cap was kneeling on one knee. Has absolute nothing to do with disrespect of emoji flag and our soldiers, men and women, who keep our land free. My father-in-law was one of those men who fought as well for this country. I asked him questions about it. Thank him all the time for his commitment. He never found Cap peaceful protest offensive because he and I both know what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. God bless you. Woo.
So you're an idiot. God bless you. Here's the thing. So just because his father-in-law didn't have any issues with it doesn't mean there's a bunch of other father-in-laws that do have an issue with it. And they're not wrong. They're not wrong. The problem is, when you start marrying the flag to any cause, you will get an emotional response one way or the other. You'll either, some won't care, and some will be so unbelievably protective of it that it doesn't matter what the real reason is. They can only see it one way. And because of that, you cannot marry Kaepernick and taking a knee with the flag. Because you're always going to get people who say, well, you know what, that's fine and all, but my granddaddy died. I served. But then you'll get some military guy who said, I served and I don't have a problem with it. And then the guy next to him will say, I do have a problem with it. So I just don't see how there's ever a compromise.
Well, you heard it right there. He's claiming it has absolutely nothing to do with the disrespect of our flag and our soldiers, and the opposite side says just the opposite. This is what they're saying. It has everything to do with disrespect.
Devin and Jason McCourty chiming in as well. They're not happy, but they tweeted out, this is a disgrace to speak about your grandfather as if there weren't black men fighting next to them. Those men later returned to a country that hated them. Don't avoid the issue and try to make it about a flag or the military. Fight like your grandfathers for what's right. With Drew Brees ran into some issues when he said that he won't stand or can't respect anybody that disrespects the flag, and that's how he views kneeling. And I think we've talked about it before that I think the more people will kneel, and I think the right answer is to respect other people's opinions. That's how Drew Brees feels about it. Fine. What he should have said at the end of that was to say, but if there's a teammate of mine that wants to kneel because he has a different opinion about this, then I will accept that. I will accept his opinion. So I think what you're going to see is you're going to see more guys kneeling this year. And I think you're going to see guys standing up.
I think you're
right. I think you should do whatever you feel is right. And I think people like Drew Brees should look to his left and right and see his teammates kneeling and respect why they are doing that.
See, here's the thing. The problem is, so the McCourties, so they say, you know what, it's not about the flag. Don't use the flag. Well, you're using the flag. You're using a flag to prove a point and to demonstrate. And I'm using the flag to show my patriotism because I can't separate the two. I can't. It's not in me. I'm emotional about it. I have a history with it. And so I would say whenever you do something like this, you're never going to get both sides to agree on it. You'll have the same situation you had a couple years ago. So I'm with you, Lou. I say you get into the locker rooms and you say, guys, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, just so we're all clear, I'm not going to look at you any differently, and I'm not going to judge you because I know you have your reasons. And who am I? Who is Devin McCourty to question Drew Brees and his emotional attachment to the flag? Who is he? So he's not right either.
I don't think the league is just going to allow them to do whatever they want.
Oh, I think
this
they
is,
will.
Oh,
I
no.
think they will.
No, this is a
yeah,
league.
So do I
wouldn't
no.
be surprised if I see Roger Goodell, Thursday Night Football, Game 1, whatever that's going to be, Kansas City versus whoever. I wouldn't be shocked if I see Roger Goodell on the sideline kneeling. It wouldn't shock me at all.
That would surprise me.
Well, yes. It wouldn't, not me. Yeah. But what Drew Brees is saying, and I understand with the frustration, because right now it's sort of like, dude, right now, like, open up your window. Like, just have a clue of what's going on. Because the opinion you're giving right now is I think a lot of people look at it as the issue. You're still not hearing. You're still not listening. It's not really about your opinion. You're not even willing to accept someone else's opinion or someone else's feelings on why they are kneeling.
So if it were today and there were a game today, Roger Goodell might do that. September's a long way away. I told you he had no chance. David Portnoy had zero chance of getting into that Goodell household. Portnoy did a good job of getting a lot of pub out of it, but he had zero chance of getting in there.
Hitler,
Goodell's a different breed. He looks at all of this much differently, and that's why this is going to be a major controversy when we get into September, because the league is going to come up with rules. We can tell you two things, and we'll give them to you in just a minute. One, Drew Brees is now tweeting out, trying to explain what he said. Is it any different from what we heard? And we're now hearing from prominent teammates on the New Orleans Saints as well, responding to Drew Brees. We'll get your reaction as well. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF. 30 minutes to go. We go just with a minute here, and we go 30 minutes commercial free.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.